It's Two Brain Radio. Every week, we'll deliver top-shelf tactics to help you improve your fitness business and move you closer to wealth. And now, here's your host, the most interesting man in fitness, Chris Cooper.
This is a podcast for entrepreneurs. Usually, I'm talking primarily to fitness entrepreneurs, but today we're going to turn the tables and talk about fitness for other entrepreneurs. What kind of workouts are best for people who own businesses? You're probably familiar with the science behind stress and how exercise can help with that. And now the new science behind focus and attention and memory and exercise's role in enhancing those things. Entrepreneurs need their brain more than they need their body. And while working out can give you, you know, kind of a sense of well-being and reduce stress and give you more confidence, it can also enhance your ability to run a better business. And on this episode, I'm going to talk about the 10 cognitive domains, what type of exercise can help most with each thing, how other things like brain-derived neurotrophic factor and inner hemispheric coordination can make you better at your business, and what kind of place you should find that will aid you in your business. If you're already doing CrossFit, I think you'll find that it ticks a lot of boxes. But if you're not, there are other things that you can do that will help you grow your brain and therefore your business. One of my businesses, and one that I incubate at the Two Brain Workshop in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, is Ignite Gym, where we work a lot with folks who want to enhance their brain power. From one end of the spectrum, it's people with autism. To the other end of the spectrum, it's high-performing entrepreneurs who need the ability to focus like a superhuman. While CrossFit prepares the fittest people on Earth, we like to think that Ignite Gym is going to prepare the fittest executives on Earth. And we have a new program called Executive that's starting soon. But I don't want to get into that stuff. What I want to start with are the 10 cognitive elements of fitness that we define in Ignite Gym. The first one we want to talk about is memory, because this is the one that's most covered in the scientific literature. John Rady wrote a lot about memory in his book, Spark, and he was mostly attributing the development of memory and recall to this chemical called BDNF1, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Now, BDNF is mostly secreted through aerobic exercise, so jogging, brisk walking, maybe even some running. Interestingly, the type of aerobic exercise that Rady tracked did not have the peaks and valleys of high-intensity interval training or like CrossFit-type stuff. But what he mostly did was put heart rate monitors on kids in Illinois and have them run laps before school and then measure the effect on their attention and focus for hours afterward. And what he found basically was that after about 20 minutes of aerobic activity, they were able to focus and retain information for about 3 to 4 hours afterward. In fact, the schools that he started doing these experiments with went from some of the lowest scores in the nation to some of the top scores competing with private schools in troubled districts. So this was really, really cool stuff. And I sat down with Dr. Rady a couple of years ago at his office at Harvard, and we talked about competitive collaboration and how CrossFit can actually help get entrepreneurs into this mindset, help them focus, and help them store energy. And I'm going to link to the article that I wrote for CrossFit Journal about that. So the first cognitive domain that exercise improves is memory. The second is attention. Hard exercise has a way of focusing the mind. And I was riding my bike yesterday, and I was thinking about this a lot. When you start off in your workout, you've got a million distractions. And as you start going along in your workout, if it's intense enough, if your body is busy enough, you start to kind of shuck those distractions, okay? So I'm working out hard. I can't go answer the phone. I can't check my phone for messages. I can't even think about what I did at the office today or what was stressing me out because all of my attention is required for the task at hand. Now, this is especially true in coached exercise. So if you come into, say, a CrossFit class and you're told it's 12:01, first I want you to do 10 squats and do it this way, you're giving all of your attention to the group coach and doing exactly what they tell you. And so a lot of the entrepreneurs that come to my gym say this is what they like the most. They don't have to think about what to do. Entrepreneurs who try to start fitness regimes by going to like a $20 a month gym and walking on the treadmill find that they're quickly distracted or they don't have the ability to shut their phone off while they're on the treadmill. And that's why, is that type of exercise does not demand enough of your attention. go to a global gym and take your phone with you sometime. Instead of just, you know, taking mocking pictures of everybody else, try not to look at your phone in between sets on the pec deck. It's super, super hard. But in a coached exercise class or in a personal training session, you don't even take your phone with you because it would be impossible to look at. It would just get in the way. Somebody would probably smash it on you. So when we're talking about attention and improving attention, we need to go into this state of singularity of focus and then zoom back out and be able to focus on multiple things at a time where possible. In other words, we need to single task to be able to multitask better. Now, I know multitasking is a myth. Multitasking is really just switching from one task to another really, really quickly. But you can actually improve that ability by focusing really deeply on a single task and then going back to quote unquote multitasking after that. So this is where a coached exercise group can help with attention. The third cognitive domain is motor control. Now, this doesn't actually sound like a cognitive domain, but if you think about the way that your thoughts control your body, motor control is actually a combination of motor neurons and cognition. There's a lot of, you know, pseudoscience out there about like the belief system and how if I think I can lift that car off my child, I can probably do it. If I'm just motivated enough, I can achieve anything, blah, blah, blah. You've seen all the memes before. But what's really true is that improving cognition will actually help your motor control and vice versa. Because what happens is you strengthen neuronal connections in your brain with exercise that will be used for cognition later. So memories are organized into synaptic bonds. Okay, so you've got two neurons in your brain and linking them like a bridge is a synapse. These synaptic bonds are strengthened through exercise and through the secretion of BDNF. But they can also put you into a state of heightened awareness. So it becomes a lot easier for you to make these connections. So if you think about where you have your best ideas, a lot of the time it's while you're doing low-level repetitive movement with your body. I don't mean air squats. What I mean is driving your car, having a shower. Your body is busy so your mind can dance. And Gary Zukav wrote this book called Thinking Body, Dancing Mind years and years ago that really goes into this phenomenon. The coolest part is that you don't have to always be having a shower to have your great ideas. You don't only have to be driving your car to have great ideas. You can actually train this ability to generate great ideas through repetitive movement. I know that when I'm cycling, I seem to make a lot of connections. I write a lot of my best blog posts, like Theseus's boat, while I'm on my bike. And it's because I'm not exerting myself to the point where it demands all of my attention, but my body is busy enough that my mind can make these free associations. The fourth cognitive domain is sensory processing and perception. And you can actually heighten your senses through exercise. But more important is your perception of stress. Exercise kind of puts things into perspective, doesn't it? And it really helps for people who tend to blow things out of perspective, who tend to create drama because they've got this vacuum in their brain where if they're not busy thinking of something, if their brain isn't stressed, something needs to fill that gap. And a lot of the times we create our own drama to fill that gap. If you've ever met somebody who's recently retired and they're out looking for things to keep them busy, it seems like they're trying to almost generate drama in their life so that they feel important. And there is a part of the brain that expands for entrepreneurs because we're used to dealing with stress, to reacting all the time. This part of the brain is called the amygdala, and it's responsible for fight or flight syndrome. It's responsible for reacting to stress. After you've been an entrepreneur for years and years, the amygdala has actually grown to a larger size than what we're used to. And so when you stop working, when you sell your business, when you reach your perfect day, a lot of the time what happened is the amygdala starts looking to validate itself, right? It's your busiest employee. So it starts creating stress. It's what takes you back to the office to quote unquote check up on things. It's what gets you into fights on Facebook. It's what gets you into fights with your wife. It's what hopefully guides you to serving others so that you stay busy. Have you ever met a retiree who didn't say, "I'm busier now after I retired than I was before"? A lot of this is the amygdala trying to justify itself. When we work with a business owner who's finally reached perfect day and they don't have to be at their business from 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. anymore, and they get to stay home with their kids, what they find is they're scrambling for stimulus. They're checking their phone. They don't know what to do with themselves. They start having anxiety even because they feel like they should be doing more. And this is really just the amygdala saying, look, I'm big. I need to fill myself. I need to create stress in this vacuum. Well, exercise actually helps the amygdala resize faster. Your brain is constantly changing. It's plastic. And that means that different areas can grow and shrink as needed, not in a physical sense, but in a sense of the connections made within them. So while the amygdala can actually take over the area surrounding itself, mirror neurons, to grow, it can also shrink back to its original size. And this is why, for a lot of people, long-term exercise produces this feeling of calmness, acceptance, and the ability to deal with stress. The fifth cognitive domain is organization, planning, and logic. Now, the new science on brain development really points to this phenomenon called interhemispheric coordination. You might have heard of this before. The right side of your brain is most commonly associated with tasks for creativity, empathy, tribalism. You know, we're all connected and we're all artistic. The left hemisphere of your brain is more closely associated with tasks requiring logic, calculation, computation, sorting things. In fact, if you've heard of Two Brain Business and you're listening to Two Brain Radio right now, you are benefiting from this understanding of right brain and left brain. Some of the best partnerships we have in Two Brain Business are made between creative people and logical people who have just been able to learn and work together better through our mentorship. Interhemispheric coordination is taking an idea that comes from maybe the right hemisphere of the brain and translating it better to the left hemisphere of the brain. You've all heard the phrase lost in translation, and this is actually what happens in your brain. People can be very, very creative, but struggle to express that creativity with language. They have lots of great ideas, but they can't write well. Or they have a fantastic picture in their brain, and they can't paint it because they can't translate that idea from thought into action. Interhemispheric coordination helps you translate creativity into process. And this is what we're really all about at Two Brain, and this is most commonly helped with exercise. The best article I ever wrote for CrossFit Journal wasn't published, and it was about interhemispheric coordination, and it was called The Grit of Chess. At the time, HQ was thinking about using chess on rest days, putting puzzles on the main site. And so we were interacting with a lot of chess masters, and I flew to St. Louis, met some of these chess masters, attended a tournament, learned how to play speed chess, attended seminars on chess, and what we were thinking about doing is working on the cognitive benefit of chess to help people get better more holistically, not just physically, but also mentally. Chess is great because it improves interhemispheric coordination. It doesn't make your brain bigger. It doesn't improve your IQ. It just makes the left and right side communicate better. It makes them more compatible. The next cognitive domain is social and emotional functioning. You've heard about EQ. This is a big buzzword in business right now, and that is your emotional intelligence, basically. How empathetic are you to other people? How well do you understand them? Right now, the biggest entrepreneurs, the heroes, seem to be these guys with a massive IQ, you know, left brain dominant, computer scientists and hackers and coders who build these massive companies. But if you're looking at a lot of these guys, what you'll find is their emotional quotient is low. So they're really left brain dominant. Elon Musk is a great example of this. If you've ever read books about Elon Musk, you'll find that he really struggles with relationships because what he tries to do is apply a logical lens to an emotional state. It doesn't always work. There's a famous quote in an article about him where he said, you know, how many hours a week does it require to have a girlfriend? How many hours a week do women want? Well, you know, of course, as you know from being in a relationship, you want all their hours. You want all their attention, all their time. You want them to be thinking about you while they're at work instead of thinking about work when they're with you. High-functioning, left-brain dominant folks really struggle with this, but exercise can help. Due to that interhemispheric coordination factor that I just talked about, exercise can make you more empathetic. And especially if you're doing group exercise where you sit down at the end, make eye contact with everybody around you, and you're feeling these feelings of tribalism, we're all in this together, empathy, this can help rewire your brain to make you have a higher EQ. So if you're an executive who's struggling to empathize with employees, to see things through their eyes, what I recommend is working out with them. That might seem embarrassing if they're more fit than you are or younger than you are. But what I suggest you start with is just going to a CrossFit class or any other group exercise, sitting down with people afterward, practicing empathy with them. And what you'll find is that over time, you become better at relating to people, forging relationships, and then building your own tribe. Eventually, I really suggest working out with your staff. There's a lot of problems that can be solved in a heavy deadlift session. If you look at the CrossFit community as a whole, CrossFit Foundation, all the associated charities supported by the CrossFit Foundation, you're going to see a higher than average level of empathy. Am I projecting because I'm part of this movement? Probably. Am I close to the problem and so I see this outpouring of empathy? Probably. But I'll tell you, empirically, after interacting with people who exercise a lot, some of the fittest humans on earth, these people have huge hearts. They are willing to give. They are caring. They are far more likely to make long-term, meaningful friendships than anyone else I've ever met. If you go to CrossFit HQ today, you will be hugged. You will not have your hand shaken. You'll be embraced. And if you go to any CrossFit gym in the world today, after a workout, when you're at your sweaty worst, your least appealing physical state, you will be hugged by people who are better looking than you are, who are more fit than you are, and who are just happy to do things with you. This group exercise would really be my prescription for building EQ. Now, on the other end of the spectrum is computation and calculation power. How does CrossFit make you faster at this? Well, exercise makes you faster at computations because it enhances recall speed. Every memory that you have is stored, and you make this connection, I referred to a synapse before, to that information. Okay, so you tuck it away in a little corner of your brain, and then you make this bridge to it called a synapse. Over time, though, that bridge degrades because you can only have so many active synapses. Your brain does this thing called pruning where it just snips these synapses away so that you're not storing everything, okay? And what it's trying to do is improve recall speed. So instead of having a map with 10 billion bridges on it, you've got a map with maybe 10,000 bridges on it. So you can get to the information that you need a lot quicker, all right? It's just like your hard drive, and it's as if it's partitioning itself to get the most common information used quicker, like a cache, okay? So what exercise does is it helps prune these unused memories or bits of logic faster, and it also strengthens the bonds to the information that you use most often. If you're doing calculations in your head, you'll be able to get to numbers a lot quicker and perform these mathematical tasks a lot faster if you're used to exercising. Now, this benefit is mostly derived, again, from aerobic activity, 20 to 30 minutes of low-intensity, heart rate-elevating exercise, instead of, like, brain-blasting, high-intensity interval training. But if you're doing group exercise properly, if you have a coach who's doing remote programming for you, if you have a personal trainer, and they're building aerobic activity into your day 3 times a week, you're probably seeing this benefit already. Can you heighten this benefit by immediately practicing math after an aerobic workout? Absolutely. And I'm going to talk about how to do that and how to deliver this to yourself or to your clients in a few minutes. The 9th cognitive domain is motivation. Now, most people have not always defined motivation as a cognitive domain, a skill that you can train. But what we know about motivation now is that success precedes motivation. I've said this multiple times on this podcast before. People believe that they need to be motivated to succeed, okay? In the business world, we got Gary Vaynerchuk telling us that we need to motivate ourselves to succeed. In the fitness world, you've got countless bodybuilding magazines and memes saying, you know, get fired up, take this energy supplement, and then you'll want to work out. What we know is the opposite is actually true. You need to succeed at something before you can be motivated to continue it. That makes it a cognitive effort. You have to be able to remember and recall success before you'll want to do more of something. Let me give you an example. My first day of CrossFit, I was coming out of a powerlifting background, and the first day at CrossFit was CrossFit Total. I had a 520 deadlift at the time, and I thought, man, I'm going to win CrossFit. This is awesome. So I came back the next day. The next day happened to be a 10K run. I was following Mainsite at the time. And I thought, okay, well, I can do this because yesterday I was good at CrossFit. Today, I'm going to do something different, but it's still CrossFit, and I know that I'm good at this. When you have a new client, we recommend to our gyms that they find the client some success on their very first day. We want people to win. We want people to feel like, I can do this. Motivation requires success, not the other way around. And so what makes this a cognitive skill is that we can develop these feelings of success. How do you do that? Through exercise. You start with exercise that you know you can be successful at. I'm going to walk 1 kilometer, okay? I'm going to jog up that big hill. You don't start with exercise that's going to murder you on day one. There were some of us who kind of relished that. We wanted to have our butts kicked on day one. Most of us own CrossFit gyms right now, or we're already members of CrossFit gyms. If you're an entrepreneur, I want you to start with something that you know you can do successfully. I can ride my bike 5K. I can do 10 push-ups. I can do 10 squats. You know, here's a video that you can watch to learn how to do a proper squat. What makes success is actually doing the activity and being successful at the activity. So signing up for a gym does not make you successful. Turning up and doing the first workout probably will. At least it'll motivate you to do the second workout. The last of the 10 cognitive domains is creativity and imagination. Now, combining all these other things together, it is what makes you more creative. Faster recall, the ability to make connections, the ability to feel empathy, put yourself in other people's shoes. Creativity is not having a brand new idea from scratch. Most of the time, it's finding the connection or the bridge between two activities. Most real entrepreneurs who've listened to guys like Steve Jobs know that the people who make the money aren't the ones with the initial idea, okay? So the people who thought up the internet are not the ones who really became wealthy. The people who make money are the ones who can connect the idea to an audience. So they're usually like the second people on board. What does this mean? It means that the ability to forge connections between ideas and between ideas and audience is what makes you successful in business. So, how do we forge that with exercise? We strengthen the ability to make these connections between synapses by, you know, generating brain-derived neurotrophic factor through aerobic activity, by generating IGF-1 through strength training, by doing new and novel exercises and playing new and novel sports. That helps forge creativity, make these connections. So now we're going to talk about how to put all these things together to optimize your entrepreneurship, help you become a better business owner, and help you maximize your time in the gym. When I'm building a program for an entrepreneur looking to maximize their cognition, I want to start with an aerobic base. Brain-derived neurotrophic factor is kind of the tide that lifts all boats. If you're secreting a lot of BDNF, you're going to improve your memory without even trying. So the base of an entrepreneur's fitness plan should be these 20-minute exercise breaks every single day if possible. In Rady's experiments, which were, you know, kind of like the pivot point for a lot of this research, what he found is that the benefits of aerobic training lasted for about 3 to 4 hours post-exercise. So I would suggest starting your day with a brisk walk, a jog, you know, getting outside, activating all of your senses. So you want to go somewhere that has a nice smell, it has nice sights, even taste, kind of, if you can. Yesterday while I was biking, I was going through hay fields, I passed a wood fire, and then I went along the coast and had all these different scents and sights and feelings, and it really helped trigger my creativity and kind of sense of well-being. So if you can, get about 20 minutes of aerobic activity every single day before you start working. Now, if you're a 4 a.m. guy like me, you're probably going to start your work and go for about 2 hours before you get any of this kind of activity. And that's fine if your brain is trained to do that. there are certain types of cognitive fitnesses. Remember, that's what I call these things. They're not just like God-given talents. You have to build them up. And so if you work to build up your cognitive capacity or your creativity at 4 a.m., that's what you'll develop. If you really want some help with this, if you want to put this on steroids, Rady called this Miracle-Gro for the brain, get 20 minutes of aerobic activity first. The next thing that I would do is make the rest of my exercise choices automatic or chosen for me. I would get a coach. Maybe that's the first thing you should do. So you get a personal trainer or you attend a CrossFit class so that you're not spending time in the gym making decisions. There is such a thing as decision fatigue, and this is why Steve Jobs wore the exact same turtleneck and pants every day, is because it was one less decision he had to make. A lot of entrepreneurs will pack the exact same lunch every day because they know they don't want to burn up one of their decisions every day on what to eat for lunch. What can happen over time is that when you get decision fatigue, you become paralyzed by all these tiny little thousands of decisions that you make every day. And then when it comes time to make the big important decision, you can't decide because you've got decision fatigue. So find a coach. Take this decision to go to the gym. What kind of exercise to do? How hard to do it? What weight to choose? How many reps to do? How long to do it for? When to go home? Take that all out of your hands. Let the coach make those decisions for you. A lot of the people at Catalyst, one of my gyms, will say, I come to Catalyst because I can turn my brain off for an hour. And what they're really saying is, I don't have to make the decision to speed up the treadmill. I don't have to make the decision on what to think about while I'm riding the recumbent bike. All those decisions are made for me. So priority number one is probably finding a coach who will make these decisions for you. Number three, I would include some group activity. So while it's really helpful to have like a 20-minute aerobic capacity type workout at the beginning of your day, and while that might be best alone so that you've got some introspection time, eventually you're going to want what we call competitive collaboration. This is Rady's term also. Basically what you want is you want people who are going to cheer for you to climb the rope. So it's awesome when you can climb the rope. It's even more awesome when you're cheering for somebody else to do it too. We can all climb this rope together. I have to do it myself, but the people at the bottom of the rope cheering for me are what helps me get up there. So if you can find a group of like-minded people who are going to support you in your exercise, or even a training partner, that's really going to help you stick with the exercise habit, be accountable, and get there on time. If you can find somebody who's like you, but not, you know, married to you, that's probably best. I know some couples who can train together. One coaches the other, and that's amazing. But I really think that you need some connection outside the home when you're exercising, and that's where a group really helps. When I go to group, I go to noon group because the people there are, you know, mostly my age demographic, 35 to 45. We're all at a similar level of performance, and even though you might have about 80% of the same people every day, there's always some new people in that group who aren't there every day. So that's why I really like going to a CrossFit class. The next element that I would add in is a timed element. So I'm talking about not a scoreboard, but setting some positive constraints on what I'm doing. Where you see entrepreneurs get bored is waiting between sets. So I'm gonna do a set of eight, and then I've got, what, 45 seconds, 90 seconds, what do I do now? Well, again, your amygdala has been primed for do something, take action. So you walk to the water fountain, or you strike up a conversation. And what you'll find is that you spend about 20 seconds exercising and then 90 seconds resting. You're really not making efficient use of your time. It becomes very easy to skip the gym and stick with activities that are actually going to benefit your business instead of going to the gym. This is where we fail to draw the correlation between exercise and running a better business, is because most people's idea of exercise is going to the gym and wasting most of their time. Instead, what we want is to have density in our workouts. That means I'm going to tell you for the next 12 minutes, you are doing nothing but moving. You are stopping only when absolutely necessary and only for as long as absolutely necessary. You are being efficient with your time. You are maximizing your time in the gym. And so this is why we're going to have workouts that are kind of clock-based. So Orange Theory is really great at this now. CrossFit has always been amazing at this. A good personal trainer now will give you like a time domain to work within or to follow. Next, I want to have some kind of muscle building activity. This means strength training, real strength training, not triceps kickbacks with the 3-pound pink dumbbells because I'm trying to firm and tone, but I need to be able to lift weight to feel good about myself. One of the easiest metrics to measure when we're trying to motivate somebody towards success is how much weight they can lift. And so a lot of women who come into the gym will start with a deadlift and they'll lift 95 pounds and they'll say, I had no idea I could do that. But in truth, most women can. And so on their second day at Catalyst, women are deadlifting because I really want them to feel like here's something I can be successful at. Now, one of the downfalls of training in a group is that the attention is going to be focused on you if you're last. A good coach will make sure that you're never really alone at the end of the workout with 50 people surrounding you, clapping and cheering. When I meet with entrepreneurs and we work out in places, that's one of the things that they say to me. I don't want to join a CrossFit gym because I never want to come last. We're a bunch of alphas. We do not like to lose. And so if we have people gathering around us in a circle, cheering for us, they think they're being supportive. We think, oh my God, I'm in last place and everybody knows it. So keep that in mind. Back to the strength training. If somebody is lifting a lower weight than everybody else, they feel self-conscious. But if the focus is on them and how much they're lifting compared to previous days, aha, now we've got this feeling of success that precedes motivation to continue. We use things like the deadlift all the time, and we use a tracking app so that people aren't just comparing their scores against everybody else, but against their previous best. If they can have immediate feedback on what they did last time, first, they're going to be motivated to push a little bit harder this time, but they're also going to have those bright spots where they're able to celebrate, here's what I did before, here's what I can do now, I'm a better person. Now, this bleeds directly into confidence. After you have set a PR on a deadlift, even if it's like a 5-rep max, you are going to feel super confident. This is the best time to ask your boss for a raise. If you're a boss, this is the best time to confidently deliver an employee review. You've got this feeling of success. That's going to make you motivated at other things. So being good at the deadlift doesn't just motivate you to do more deadlifts. It motivates you to do everything else. Yeah, there's some hormonal stuff here. Testosterone comes out after you deadlift. That's awesome. But there are also just these feelings of accomplishments, the brain's internal reward system, that will really help you with your business too. One of my business mentors, Dan Martell, has a great video about protecting your entrepreneurial confidence. And he and I both do CrossFit largely for this reason. It's efficient, it's guided, we don't have to think, and it really builds confidence to do hard stuff. So if I were about to do something really hard, like fire an employee, I would probably do a CrossFit workout first because BDNF is going to make me sharp. The logical side of my brain is going to trump the emotional side that doesn't want to fire the employee. The emotional side is going to be primed so that I feel empathy toward them and I'm not just cold. And I'm going to have the confidence to do what's necessary for my business and my other employees, even if it's not the ideal for this employee. All right. The next element that I would add is constant novelty. So as entrepreneurs, our brains are wired for novelty. We're facing different problems every day. We love it. You know, maybe we're putting out fires, but at least it's not always the same fire over and over again. When I come into the gym, I am attracted to doing different workouts because my brain tries to solve the puzzle. I try to come up with a strategy, or I try to figure out how hard it's going to be. And a lot of the entrepreneurs in my group do the exact same thing. They'll say, you know, I think this is going to get hard around the third round. Or I think I can keep a pace of 3 minutes per round. Or I think you're going to go out fast, but I'm going to catch you at the end. Whatever. We love to armchair quarterback the workout before we get going. So if I were recommending a program for an entrepreneur, it would have a different type of workout every day with a few scattered kind of milestone workouts mixed in so that I can test their progress. Now we look at the cognitive side. What activities would I do or recommend for an entrepreneur that would help them develop these cognitive skills? One is chess. I was not a chess fan until Greg Glassman asked me to learn about chess. And so I started pursuing chess. And what I quickly found was the ability to make connections in chess translates to business. You've all heard this stuff before about, oh, it makes you great at strategy, and oh, it's like playing war games. But what it actually does is straightens out your brain so that you can see connections and see into the future in your business after playing chess. Now, I'm not saying you want to go out and become a chess master or compete in tournaments or anything like that. I'm saying just get a chess app on your phone, put it down to beginner level, and play a couple of games after exercise. When I was in New York not too long ago, I went out, found some guys who play street chess, took a couple lessons, like overpaid them for the lesson, because I really wanted to see the problem through their eyes, through the eyes of people who have nothing to do but play chess for a living, and do it really, really, really well. I also wanted to see how they approached the problem through a beginner's eyes. So as I'm giving you some of these cognitive tasks, a lot of them are going to be brand new to you. And the benefit of approaching these novel tasks is that it makes you form faster connections in your brain. So if you haven't played chess before, this is a great time to do it. Likewise, crossword puzzles. These are almost like a cliche. Maybe your grandfather did crossword puzzles to keep them sharp. But the reason it's a cliche is because it works. Making connections, seeing patterns, is incredibly beneficial to entrepreneurs. We talk a lot, and Ari Mizell talked in his podcast episode, about looking at your business, optimizing processes, and then automating them. And optimization starts with seeing patterns. I do this the exact same way every time, meaning it's something that I can teach somebody else to do. I always start a CrossFit class exactly on time, so I'm going to tell my coaches to do the exact same thing. I always write my newsletters like this. Oh, I can hire a VA to do that. When a task becomes optimized, a lot of the times it becomes automatic. The key is seeing those patterns, and this is where crossword puzzles and even word searches can help. You're looking for one thing that signifies there's a larger process behind it. As I said earlier in this episode, the ability to connect an idea to another idea or an idea to an audience is really where entrepreneurial opportunity lies. And so doing crossword puzzles, doing word searches immediately post-exercise strengthens this ability to make those connections and see opportunities. The next thing I'd be adding in as a cognitive skill would be memory tasks. I have a podcast episode with Nelson Dellis, a good friend of mine, the U.S. memory champion 4 or 5 different times. I'll link to that in the show notes. Nelson recommends using cards and memorizing decks. Now, this sounds like a really cool party trick, like you can memorize a whole deck of cards in a minute or something. Nelson can do it in under 40 seconds. But what it's really teaching you to do is chunk information together. So instead of saying, okay, queen, jack, 10, what you're doing is learning to put things together. Like the queen and the jack came to my party at 10 o'clock. Tell a story. Store information more accurately so that you can remember the whole picture. I know sometimes a staff person will bring up a conversation that we had 3 months ago, and I'll remember little tiny pieces, but not the whole thing. And so I'll be scrolling back through my text messages or the email messages to try to find the context. You know, why did we make that decision again? Did we make that decision? Who was in charge? What exactly did I say? Memory work helps you recall these entire conversations. Now, I don't know if this is what Greg Glassman does, but I've seen him have incredible memory recall. At a regional event one time, a friend of mine walked up to him through the crowd, shook his hand, waited in line, all that stuff. And he said to the friend, "Hey, Tony, how's your wife doing?" And he named Tony's wife. And then he said, "Is her mother doing better?" Tony's wife's mother had been sick. And Tony said, "Yeah, she's doing great. Thanks so much for asking." And Greg said, "Hey, I'm glad to hear it." And he walked away and moved on to the next person. And Tony turned to me and he said, "I haven't seen that man in 4 years. That's the kind of recollection that Greg Glassman has. And it's one of the many, many things that makes him so special. But if you think about high-performing entrepreneurs and their ability to remember things about their staff, to relate well to their customers, this is a skill a lot of them have. Bill Clinton is supposed to have been the master at this. You know, he'd go to a fundraising gala with 300 people and remember a single detail about every one. A lot of the times as a business owner, you are playing mayor. You're being political. You're remembering things about your clients. You're calling them on their dog's birthday. You're sending gifts on their anniversary. And that's what helps you forge that relationship. Well, memory is the root of all of that. If I can remember somebody's first name, that is music to their ears. If I can remember their husband's name, they love it. If I can remember, you know, what school their daughter goes to, that strengthens our bond. Improving your memory as an entrepreneur is super important because it helps you forge those client relationships. It strengthens your EQ. And so if you're using card tricks like memorizing cards, do it right after exercise. Your brain is primed for growth. It's primed to make new connections, to improve at recall, to make stronger connections, to make stronger memories, and to get at those memories faster. So what I would recommend is maybe like a more intense 10 to 15 minute workout where immediately you go to a pattern recognition exercise or you go to a memory exercise. Here are some samples. 3 days a week, maybe you do an aerobic activity. So you go out for a 20 minute walk, you sit down and you do the crossword puzzle. I would do this before I eat breakfast because I really don't want to introduce insulin into this whole equation. Insulin numbs your senses. It slows down recall speed, et cetera, et cetera. It impairs creativity. That would be my 3 day a week starter. 20 minutes of aerobic activity followed by 10 to 15 minutes of making connections or working on memory. Then 2 to 3 times a week, I'd participate in some kind of group activity that's led. This doesn't have to be group. I guess the leadership is more important than the group aspect of it. So you could go to a personal trainer, but the key here is that you want intensity in this workout and you want somebody else making the decision on intensity and weight and speed for you. It's too easy to not be intense. You know, when you're riding your bike by yourself, you're always winning, so you don't push very hard. You need a coach. So 2 to 3 times a week, go see a coach. I like going to a group that's coached because I still want those decisions made for me, but I want to feel like I'm training with my buddies. I want to high-five somebody else afterward, kind of roll my eyes with them when we see the workout, you know, have a good laugh, maybe get some hugs in. That's just me. So that's 2 to 3 times a week. I would follow those type of activities with a good meal, some hydration, probably a nap so that your brain can recover. But if you don't have time for all of that stuff, I would follow that activity with a creative task, a free-flowing creative task. I use a tool called 750words.com where I write every day. Most people have their best creative block immediately post-exercise. Their brain is calm, they're more focused. You know, a lot of the scattered little demands on their attention have dissipated. They've got feelings of empathy. Inner hemispheric coordination is at its height. You can translate the pictures in your brain into words easier. So either walk around and record something on your phone, like, you know, tell yourself a love story on your phone, or write a love letter to yourself or to your clients using something like 750 words. What does this add up to? Well, it adds up to about 5 or 6 days of exercise per week. The general population does not need that much exercise because they are training their bodies. They need about 4 days of exercise per week that's going to help them burn fat, look better naked, you know, fit in at the beach. You as an entrepreneur need 5 or 6 days of exercise because you need to be focused all the time. Don't tell me you're not working on weekends. I know that you are. You're checking your phone, you're writing emails, all that stuff. Any day when you're working, you need to exercise. You need to optimize your brain for work because your employees, your clients, your family, they demand your best. Simply showing up and grinding, simply putting in the hours, that is not good enough. That's the most. That's not your best. This is why I don't always share stuff that comes from guys like Vaynerchuk, because I don't believe that good business is just a matter of putting in time. Good business is giving your best. It's caring the most. And it's optimizing your brain and yourself as an entrepreneur. If you're a business owner, whether you're a gym owner or not, your job is to be mentally sharp. It's not to run a sub 16 minute 5K. If you want to do that, that's awesome. But your focus should be on making your brain as resilient as possible, removing stress so that you're not distracted when it's time for family time, and being sharp. That means improving your cognitive fitness, not just your physical fitness, but physical fitness is the pathway. So why do I recommend CrossFit to so many entrepreneurs? It's because it ticks all these boxes. Not because I own a CrossFit gym, but because if I want aerobic work, I can get that in a CrossFit class. If I want somebody else guiding me, I can get that in a CrossFit class, or I can get that one-on-one with a personal trainer at a CrossFit gym. If I want cognitive work, that's really easy for me to do after class. I can go write, I can go do my crossword puzzle, I can even play chess. In fact, if you said to your gym owner, I brought this chessboard, can I stick around and play for 20 minutes? They'd probably say yes. I mean, I'd jump up and down and ask if I could play with you. I also recommend CrossFit because it combines the stuff that's going to give you confidence, like weightlifting, with the stuff that's going to improve cognitive skills, like memory and recall. I can get all of that in 60 minutes. I have a CrossFit gym that's literally a 30-second walk out my door because I own it, and then I can walk back in 30 seconds. I can get all the exercise that I need in all 10 physical domains to improve my 10 cognitive domains. If you'd like more information on this stuff, we'll start blogging about it on Zecutive.com. That's Zecutive with a Z-E-C. You can find a lot more on IgniteGym.com. I'll link to John Rady's books here. This is a huge topic, and I think probably the future of fitness is focused toward brain development instead of biceps development. That's it for me. I'm Chris Cooper. This is Two Brain Radio. Have a fantastic, thoughtful week.